Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
Hey, everybody out there in Natty Nation, Kalen Patterson once again. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. And this is basically picking up from last Thursday's show where we talked about, you know, what is a natural athlete? Not somebody's written idea, not someone's concept of what it takes to build up a natural athlete, but what you feel inside, what drives you to say that I don't want any outside pharmaceutical drug or anything else. I'm challenging me to be the best me. What makes that person happen? And I spoke, and then a lot of people listened to it, and I appreciate all your comments and all your, you know, messages that were sent. Thank you so much. But I spoke from the male point of view, from what I could see, and now I'm bringing Desiree on. Desiree's co-host for P4P. Desiree.
Hey, everyone.
There you go. Go ahead.
I just saying, hey, everyone.
Well, yeah, I'd like to get a woman's point of view, because I know as much as men might be driven for success and winning, women are also driven with another addition, and that's self-image. And it's really big sometimes. Well, not sometimes. It's really big a lot in life for women, but even more so when it comes to competition at stage.
You know, most definitely. And I think that when you get into a competitive situation, the battle with self-image just even becomes magnified, more magnified, regardless of what that might be, whether you're, you know, interested in modeling, whether you might be interested in pageants, you know, competing on the bodybuilding stage. It's definitely something that plays on the mind, and I think especially for women, because we are in a society where we are so much judged by the way that we look or how we dress or how we carry ourselves, and it can be a very tough thing to manage if you're not grounded or have a good foundation of why it is you do the things that you do. You know, why do you take part in natural bodybuilding? Why do you put yourself on a stage to be judged? And it's got to be more than just winning. Otherwise, you can find yourself in a tough situation if you're not.
That's so true. And you know, I've done some research, and because I've really, you know, we're all faced with that question, and I think for some it's very easy to say just say no, and then it's for some it's a chore. And for others, it's a challenge. And then some just don't win. And they basically say, well, then this is my best option. And I can't even imagine the best coming out of doing the worst to your internal organs and damaging your body for years to come. And you consider that a best option. But I know that there are people that out there that actually done it, are doing it, and will do it in the future. And, you know, from the women that I've had a chance to speak with, you know, because on both sides, you know, the ones that said no, the ones that said, you know, well, you know, this is an option that I was willing to look into. And I'm kind of blown away by some of the reasoning or pseudo-reasoning that happens when they actually made that choice and the reason, well, like I said, pseudo-reason behind it, because there's no really weight or merit to trying to justify making that trip, unless it's just whole something wholeheartedly wanting to be done, and you're just saying the hell with life and anything else?
Well, you know, I think you do have some of that. I think from what I've seen, we really have two scenarios. Well, there's maybe more than two, but two primary ones. One, first and foremost, kind of the one that touches on what you just talked about, and that is that the drive to win at any cost is so great that the pain of losing is greater than the pain of putting yourself at risk, putting your health at risk by using, you know, either steroids or a prescription diuretic or whatever it is that is on the banned substance list. And, you know, a lot of times people do things more so to avoid pain than to get pleasure. So if it's, you know, if I'm going to feel good by winning, the consequences that come along with that, then I'm willing to take that chance. And then I think you have the other camp where, especially as women, because we just don't know. I mean, we're jumping to a sport that is still growing. It's still growing among females, and so we rely on our coaches. And unfortunately, not all coaches are great coaches. There are a lot of fabulous coaches out there, and there are some that are not so much, and we are following what they tell us to do. We know we're going to compete. We know that we want to get in shape to do this. We have the drive to want to do this because we want to better ourselves. But then somewhere along the line, you know, sometimes even the coaches lose track of why their clients are doing what they're supposed to do. And so they're putting pressure on them to perform, you know, in a way that is just not healthy, or their bodies just can't meet that level in that time frame. So instead of giving them more time, they just push them harder and harder. And sometimes part of that push is, you know, doing things that you shouldn't be. And so you've got two different forces at play here, and unfortunately, it's the athlete that's going to lose out in the end.
Yeah, and that's a tough loss, and it's one of the sides of the industry that's any real trainer, any real nutritionist, any real coach, any real person that has a true concern for health and fitness. It's always the one that really hits hard, because, you know, we you know, whether people understand it or not, we invest so much of us into helping that you always, I guess that's our drive sometimes, is that we want people to succeed and always succeed, because we know that it can be done. We know the road to get there. And we've got, I guess, the GPS, the map, whatever you want to say, that can basically get them there. Like you said, if you allow the time, if that time is given, if that window is given, and it's a window for them, not for you. Some people are, you know, even though they might be a coach, they feel like they're on stage with their competitor, and they should have done this, they should have done that. And I said, you know, you're almost taken away from everything that person is that's unique about them, and replacing their whole aura with your own, and almost basically kicking them off stage mentally and basically trying to be the person up there. And I think, you know, when someone gives their complete trust to you, and then it's abused, it's really frustrating when you're on the outside looking in, or basically knowing what's going on. And a lot of these times is what I've seen, you know, from the research I've done. Basically, it was a setup where they were set up to lose, so basically they can be put on the stuff to justify why they're on it in the first place. And that's a tough one to have happen, because it's just not fair when people are putting in that kind of work and that kind of trust, and then basically being stabbed in the back by the person that they're trusting.
Yep. Definitely. I can't, you know, I've seen a number of coaches, countless coaches, talking about, you know, having to repair an athlete after they've come from a bad coach, whether they had them, you know, doing countless number of hours on cardio, on too few calories, or, you know, just a lot of things. And when it comes down to it, our bodies are really the only resource that they have, and they have to last us until we're no more for this earth. So we really have to be serious and really think about how we are treating ourselves. And is the short-term, you know, win or the short-term satisfaction really worth it? And a lot of times it's not. You know, and especially, and I shouldn't preface this that, well, if you start making big money, it justifies the means, because it doesn't. But for the vast majority of athletes and even females, because a lot of females don't stick with this sport for years on end. They do it because it's a goal. They enjoy it. They check it off their bucket list and then they move on. So to take, you know, actions to win something that is not a lifelong passion for you, that's just a reckless thing to do. You know, anytime you do anything, and especially being an athlete, you got to keep the end goal in mind. And if you're not, if it's not your profession and how you make your livelihood, then you really got to think twice when someone offers you an alternative or something that's going to give you an edge over the next competitor, just so you can say that you won, when in all reality, you didn't. If you were competing in a natural show, then the natural athlete is the one who won. You might have the satisfaction of taking home a trophy, but still in the back of your mind, you're always going to know that, you know, if you hadn't taken that enhancer, you may not have finished as well as you did. So what was that really worth? What did you really prove?
Nothing. You proved absolutely nothing. And I want to go back just a little bit, because I remember reading one of Chad, one of our guys, P4P Sports Site, had put a post about how he was thinking about making a show for, you know, challenging these coaches or trainers that are basically wrecking people's metabolisms, destroying their health, and basically just, you know, throwing common sense to the wind and just, you know, kill or be killed, get these people on stage and hopefully get a top five finish. And I'm thinking, a lot of these people are finished before they even make it to stage, because their bodies are so beaten and broken that honestly, I think it's just strength of will that they're still alive. I'm not even kidding when I say that. When some of the things that these competitors will put their bodies through with complete trust of basically just demons in flesh form, it's just amazing to me. And the damage that is done physically and mentally when they find out they've been betrayed.
And I've seen it. I've seen women that, you know, have come in less than someone else. And granted, it happens even when no cheating is involved at all. But then, when it comes down that after the test has come through and, you know, the person who won didn't pass the test, it's like, yeah, I won, but I'm already so emotionally distressed over it that it doesn't matter to me now that this first place is getting handed down to me. I mean, it doesn't have the same meaning as it does when you're competing against someone else who's natural, and if they beat you, then great, that's awesome. But then to get beaten by someone who was not, and they were, you know, putting on appearances that they were, that just takes, it just diminishes the whole experience. It just does.
And, you know, aside from the coach, if the competitor is willingly cheating, I think it's one of the most selfish acts that can be done in any sport, you know. And I remember one of the women I spoke to had said that she likened it to football. You know, if you're so driven to win that you basically put all health concerns to a side, that you're willing to do things to your body that aren't healthy choices, but choices that will, you know, quote unquote, help you win. And I said, well, then you've already lost, because you're conceding defeat ahead of time. And I challenged her with the idea of, from a mental point of view, not physical, you're saying, I have no idea how to create a body that can somehow stand next to the person I have defeating me in my own mind. I said, you've already put up so many roadblocks and barriers. From a mental point of view, how could you ever win physically when the mind drives the body? And she had no response for that.
Well, no. Down basically to the so what? So why is it important that I'm a natural athlete? Why is it? And that's a question that you have to have, that you have to answer in order to stick with it. Because if you're going to be a natural athlete, be natural. And if you're not, then don't. There are lots of shows out there where you can compete using whatever substances you want, and you can go for it. And it's okay, and nobody's going to say a darn thing about it. And if that's who you want to be, then just be true to yourself and do that. But if that's not who you want to be, then you have to be settled in yourself that you're going to have the stick-to-itiveness to keep persevering regardless of, you know, the difficulties. And it may mean that you have to put off a show. It may mean that you have to take time off and regroup and come back the next year. And, you know, when you know that you're bringing the best package, you know, possible to the stage. I mean, and if that's what it means, and that's just what it means. It doesn't mean you're less of an athlete. It just means that you know yourself well enough to know what you need to do to be the kind of athlete that you want to be. But whatever kind of athlete you want to be, then just be true to yourself and be that athlete.
Well said, Mary.
I had asked a few of my, and it is like a sisterhood. I mean, I'm sure across all venues it is, but being a natural athlete myself and, you know, being around a lot of the women that I compete with, it really is a sisterhood. And one thing I can say is that the vast majority of these athletes, they care. They care about their bodies, and they care about the bodies of the people that are on stage up there with them. And so, you know, I asked them, what's so important about being a natural athlete? And one in particular said, you know, for me, it's everything. What's the point of being fit if you're not healthy? And then she went on to say, you know, the fitness industry is booming, and there are so many impressionable young ladies who are following in our footsteps. And I want to lead by example and show that nutrition and a healthy mind, body, and spirit are the most important thing. So it's not even the winning, it's not even the competing, but for her, it's, you know, it's the nutrition, it's the healthy mind and body, healthy spirit. Those are the most important things, because long after you're done competing, these are the things that you're going to need to help carry you through to achieve whatever else it is you have in the future. Another one went on to say, being a natural competitor is very important. It's not only for my health, but it also shows my kids that the right nutrition and exercise is the best way for any lifestyle. So for many women, and I know this a lot because we talk to each other, when we compete, it's more of a profession of our belief system, how we view our health, and then how we view our bodies in relation to that. You know, being a bikini competitor, it might not seem like that, because sometimes when you see us on stage, it's a more sassy, a more sexy type of competition. But, you know, the women there take it very seriously. They're not, you know, doing meal prep weeks on end and, you know, making sure that they have the right vitamins, the right supplements. I mean, you know, a lot of them don't even take a pre-workout. Some do. I'm not here to talk about the pros and cons of a pre-workout. But the point of the matter is, it's just a personal statement of their lifestyle. And that's why they love the sport that they're in, because it lets them express who they are. And that is one of the main points of being a natural competitor, and gets back to what I said. Just be true to who you are, and you will have a good time with whatever you're doing, with win or lose.
And it makes a big difference, you know, because I think what starts in the heart ends in the result, what you said on stage. But it's got to be in the heart. And I think I'm glad you said it, because I'm trying to steer people away from a choice that I've always considered death. And then people say, well, that's an extreme way to look at it. For me, this is just me. I'm speaking for me right now. When with the information and knowledge I've gained about growth hormone, about insulin, about, insulin abuse, I should say, and all these other pharmaceutical additions to create some image in your mind of what you think is aesthetically pleasing, they're so destructive. They're so damaging. They're so hard on the internal organs that, you know, if you pictured your body like a battery, not like an electric outlet, but more like a battery, and you just rev whatever it is all the way up to the extreme output, the life of that battery is short. And when you talk about the human body, it's a living battery. And to just keep revving it up, and, you know, it's almost like the sports car where you keep putting the nitrous oxide in it. You've got to do some great, great mechanical work on that engine every time you use it, or that image. I mean, that engine just falls apart because it can't sustain itself. And we don't liken ourselves things and just do so much harsh treatment to it. It's just amazing. And like you said, there's so many of us that make that choice not to. I don't want to delve into it where, you know, the whole system is broken and everybody's cheating. That's the last thing I'm talking about. What I want to help are the people that are walking that thin line, about to go the wrong way and make that wrong choice. And it is wrong. You know, whether I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat this crap anymore. You know, they say, well, it's their choice. It's a wrong choice because the end result is basically damage and death. I can't think of anybody that's walked away from that in a great state. And the ones that have lived an extended amount of time just had some incredibly great batteries that were beaten up. I've known smokers that 2-pack a day, and they lived to be 90 years old. So what? They've had cancer all along the way, and they've had all kinds of surgeries in the process. I mean, we can't keep pacifying the idea that somehow or another this is a good decision for anyone. And it's amazing to me that that we are given, you know, just free rein to this kind of this ideology. It's just, maybe we're getting in the way sometimes by, you know, trying to, you know, take away from somebody's choice because we know they've already done it. But it still doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't. And I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, when I say be true to the type of athlete that you are, that I don't say that to give an excuse for someone to make a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that in that meaning that you can't be both.
Yes.
You can't just say, well, I'm going to do this once for this one show because I really need this push, and then I'll take enough time off so the next time I compete that it's not in my system anymore. No. You can't do both. You've already, the line in your decision-making process that's already made you, you know, one kind of athlete versus another.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just don't want people to think that you can just, you know, have a little extra help here and there and still call yourself a natural athlete, because that's not what you are. So
exactly.
If you're going to choose, and there's enough information out there that people know what they're choosing for the most part, unless they totally just are trusting their coach to make all the decisions for them, they're not doing any of their own homework, they're just following blindly, which in and of itself is a bad decision, because you should never follow anything blindly, especially when you're consuming something into your body.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have it both ways. Because eventually, even if you don't get caught, you're still going to suffer the consequences.
Exactly.
So you can't cheat just here and then, and then just and still claim to be a natural athlete, because it doesn't work that way. even if you are able to pass the lie detector test and the urine test, still are what you are, and it's not natural.
Exactly. And it's like I said, because women have such extreme ways of doing this, it's kind of weird how they're constantly being pushed past these points. And it's a challenge, you know, it's a challenge. Every time more and more of us are getting where we just can't keep doing these things and thinking, I guess the best one I heard was, I just dabbled in it. No, like you said, you're doing it.
Yes. Now, is there a point of no return? I don't know. I don't know that I can say that. I don't know that I can say that. I don't know that I can say if someone who did do it, didn't do it again, has no intention of doing it again, they've gone the 5 years, the 7 years, or whatever, jumping back into it, can I say that, well, no, you're not a natural athlete because you did this back in the day? No, I can't say that. But if you are actively competing, you know, it's just a different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And maybe you see that part of it differently, but
no, people, you know, when you say there's a point of no return, we really have to think about that. When somebody is human, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And you know, I think the person that I have an issue with are the ones that are basically trying to be lukewarm. And that's,
yeah,
you know, out of Revelations where he says, you know, because you're neither cold nor hot, I'll spit you out. And I think that's what society has to say. You know, if you're going to do it, then do it and get out of the way. But don't sit there and say, you know, I'm going to pull back and make this normal and that's acceptable to me. So it has to be acceptable upon society because, you know, really, I'm not meaning to do wrong. But wrong is done, you know?
Nope, definitely. Definitely. So what's the uptick? This is such a heavy topic, and it is a very serious topic, and it is one that deserves a great deal of thought and a great deal of attention. But what's the uptick to all of this?
Well,
what's the positive note?
The positive note is that, you know, the natural community heals. I mean, we have these moments, we have people making these choices, but it's not everyone. I mean, like the pure of heart ones basically keep going. You know, they know that regardless of what somebody else's choice is, I don't have to make that. And, you know, I don't have to teach it. And I don't have to explain it away or try to bury it in the sand. You know, this is a part of life. And, you know, as much as the gym is the fortress of solitude, you know, there's things that happen in it that aren't always a good thing, but we don't have to alter ourselves to become a part of a damaged way of thinking. There's so much strength that happens from the person that makes it through these moments, that makes it through those times. Because, you know, I think I can't remember the first time I was approached by someone that had this additive or whatever the heck they call it. But, you know, when I was just getting into it and starting to show some kind of development, oh, you could get here so much further, you know, and just do this and just do that. And it's like, well, no, I already know that. And then they come with the bro science that you're, so, you know, some of us have been educated past that bro science, thankfully. And thank God. And especially now we have so many that are coming in with the actual factual information is a blessing on itself. So it has grown and we are defeating it. And I think that's what the fight back is, because now more and more there are natural shows that are in, you know, locations that people can do, and they don't have to go to the enhanced realm and see all these images that just aren't true. they can actually step onto a stage and still go home to the husband, the wife, the mom, the dad, the brother, the sister, and not feel any shame from the choice that they did. They actually feel they can. The reward is an actual reward, I guess the best way to look at it. You actually get the reward from your hard work, and there's no, well, let's just say dark side to it, because that's what's always kind of funny to me when they say, oh, man, I can't imagine how you look. Because when you, if you make it to the dark side, and I'm thinking, well, why the hell would I want to do that if it's the dark side? You know, I'm thinking, well, I've watched Star Wars enough, and I'm geeky enough. Well, why would I want to be a part of that, you know? But that's the term that everybody seems to use, and we've overcome that. And if you look now, you know, they're actually, I know there's plenty of shows that are basically, plenty of NPC shows that are basically riding right on the show dates of natural shows just to put that kind of strain on the show, hopefully, but that now they're actually going with different days because they realized they couldn't beat them. That's a statement in itself.
Yeah, sure is. And I just have to say, too, that, you know, for anyone, if you get approached to take something that you're not sure of, in the promise that you're going to win, you're going to blow away all of your competition, if you would just take this and it trumps just consistency over time, work over time, you know, stop and think first before you agree to it. Do your homework. Ask other people. Reach out. There are so many resources out there that, you know, if you just ask the question, can save you so much time, so much headache, so much hassle, and, you know, be informed about all of the decisions that you make. And I just have to say that, you know, the natural athletes that are out there that are truly natural, they are such an inspiration. There are so many people watching you, so many people that will never step on a stage in their life, but you motivate them to make changes in their life, to live a healthier lifestyle. And they see that, oh my gosh, she did it, and she's just exercising, and she's eating right, and I can do that too. I tell you, there's nothing more exciting and motivating to me to go to a competition and see somebody there who, while she may not win, she had a fitness goal and she dropped 100 pounds just to get on the stage. I mean, those are the people, those are the athletes that the crowd truly goes wild over when they hear those stories. And those are the people that, you know, they're posting their results on there on Facebook and you know, all the lurkers out there that aren't commenting on your Facebook post, but they're reading it, they're starting to change their lifestyle too because what they see you doing or they've seen someone else doing. And the fact that it's natural, it's what is making them change. I mean, so much of the world is already looking for a quick fix in a pill bottle. That's why there's so many weight loss this and weight loss that, one after another, year after year. But you know why there's so many of them? Because they don't work. And if they do, it's only temporary. So, you know, there are so many ways to win in the natural world than just with a trophy. And it's just amazing when you see story after story after story of people that, you know, maybe they just dropped 30 pounds, or maybe they dropped 20 pounds, maybe they only dropped 10, but whatever it is, their lifestyle is already improved because of it. And it's because they're watching you. And you're just a testimony to what, you know, healthy living can do.
Yeah. And there's people, not even in the gym, I mean, just not even on stage or a show, just in the gym. I know there's six physical people in this gym right now that say, I'm here because you're here. And I see that you didn't give up and what happened with you. And I'm willing to try to do the same thing so that something like that can happen with me. At this very moment in this gym right now, there's six people that have actually said those things. It's a very positive, very high energy. And, well, here's a good example. And because you were actually at that show, so you know what I'm talking about, the Iowa show, the Titan Classic, where I'd never seen a more engaged audience and well-knowledged audience where they, I mean, it just kind of blew me away that they remembered a lot of us from 2 and 3 years ago competing, and they still knew us and the changes that we've made.
Yep.
I said, this is the growth of natural bodybuilding, where it used to be, you know, I'm here for so-and-so, that's my son or my daughter or my wife or my husband. They actually know the competitors. You know, did you see the stuff that Alex Ellis is doing in CrossFit? Have you seen what so-and-so is doing over on the East Coast? And it's good to hear. It's because, you know, I know that it seems to be the only people that knew the competitors were the other competitors. And now that day is changing, because I know there's some well-known competitors, but also the competitors that have gone through to the different shows, and they're still remembered. So it is growing, and in a good way, in a healthy way. And it's also getting to the point where people recognize you even in street clothes. And I'm starting to think, okay, that's kind of weird. It's either a gym look
just,
for me.
You're just a celebrity now. You're just a celebrity. Just admit it.
No. Well, you were the North American, and where we had all the competitors there for P4P, and to just have people around the booth out wanting to take pictures with the different people, you know, Ron with Forbidden City, you, who I mean, they were just like, could we just have a picture? And that, you know, those things were only done basically never when I was first awakened to the actual natural bodybuilding, not the crap that was being sold as natural, but the actual natural venues and natural organizations and natural shows. It was basically, you know, after the person you were there to see left, so did you. But at the Iowa show was a blessing for me, because I got to see everyone still in the audience. And then at the end of the show, everyone backstage talking to the competitors. And I was just so blown away by that. And, you know, then the North American happened. And then, you know, it's just great moments. Honestly, great moments for natural bodybuilding. Because these things are still sadly new. But thank God that they're happening. Because, you know, it used to be where you had to have a big show and all the big names getting there. And then because of that, people, you know, had the word of mouth. But now the social media, the other forums, the other mediums, we're not so unknown that we can't keep a following where people actually want to show up just because of that. And I said that was the thing that was missing. You know, not that we had to be celebrities, but that the fact that we could do enough shows where we could actually be known. Because I don't know if you saw it in the beginnings or the way I was looking at it, but it seemed more like if a person didn't have a chance of winning, they didn't show up. And I said, well, that's not competition. Or I'll pick a small show so I have a chance at winning. And I come from organized sports, and, you know, it's basically I don't care who shows up, I'm going to be there too. And I think now, you know, the people that, like you said, were doing it for a bucket list, then that, you know, there's shows for that. But there's also, you know, more and more competitive shows where people actually have to compete. And I said, that's what was missing, was the actual true competition, because I think in a sense, a lot of people didn't know anything about competition. They just knew about winning. I know if I look like this in the magazine, I got a chance at first place. And I said that to me, that's you know, wanting to win. But competition is saying, I remember Guarino Mackey when he said, who's going to be at the show? He was talking about the Evolution, last year's Evolution. He's like, well, who's going to be at that show? And I told him, he's like, oh, man, I got to get ready for that show. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, man, with those guys? He goes, that's when I know what I'm doing. And that just kind of, I was like, yeah. I got excited for him. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because, you know, even in the amateur side of it, I think we still need to have that camaraderie, but also realize if all of us get better, you have better shows. Plain and simple.
Exactly. Yep.
If the top five turns into the top 12, you have a better show because you don't know who's going to win. That's competition. But that's what we all want deep down, because everything you do. Well, I'm at Five Star Fitness right now. So when I say here, when I'm actually talking physically in the gym, everything we do here is the game. The game we play basically is shown on stage. But the game was played here in the kitchen in sleep. You know, how we treat our bodies. Like you said, if we treat our bodies in a healthy and fit fashion, it will translate into the lighting and the tan on stage. But now you have the other side of that, where if you cut corners and do this and do that, and I think that's where that choice comes in, where they say, you know, like when you tell people, you know, I know you didn't diet right, or I know you're not getting enough rest. If you've been in the business long enough, as trainers, as coaches, whatever, the body takes on a certain look with how we treat it. And I think that that choice sometimes stems from basically trying to make a liar out of the person speaking the truth. You know, I'll show you that I can win, you know. Kind of sometimes it's kind of funny. Like, you're going to make me the devil because you didn't do right, which is funny to me. But it happens, you know. As much as, you know, we'd like to think there was the devil out there, some people just don't want to do the work. Best way to say it.
We want the shortcut.
Yeah.
But all the benefits.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said, it's a selfish act, because, you know, I've been to enough shows where I just, that moment, that's what it's all about, that moment. You know, because, well, you were at the North American, you saw, you know, to be called out in first place is beautiful. You know, it shows that, you know, I did it. This time I had the formula. And, you know, the next show might be the wrong formula, but this time I had the formula. And you win. And then it'd be announced that you get a pro card. How do you send that in an envelope and make that equal? You know, well, the person that beat you didn't really beat you. So here's your first place and your pro card. And, yeah, they caught the error. They fixed the problem. But you don't get back that moment. That special moment we dream about, we work for, we spend month after month after month getting ready because we're working for that moment. And you finally have it all figured out. Somebody else cheated to take it away from you.
Yep.
That's what
it's just not the same.
No. And I speak on it because it frustrates me to no end that, you know, you sorry bastards for just taking that from somebody that deserves it. And, you know, I'll always be frustrated by that because, you know, I've worked with, I've worked alongside, I've trained, I've coached, I've just helped, you know, it's so many people. And you can see their heart going into what they're doing, where, you know, that last rep or that last anything, that last lap, whatever, that last stare. And he said, you know, this time
I'm going to create a new me. And they do it. You've seen it. I know you've seen it. I know you've seen that transition where that mental state goes from, you know, I wonder to I know. And that's so beautiful to see. And you just know this time they're ready. They're set. And then when they get on stage, it's going to be an amazing moment. You just know it. You can see it. You can feel it. You know, basically when they walk in the building, the energy that they pass and give to others just enlightens them to where they get goosebumps. And then, boom, the cheater steps out there, and guess what? The moment's gone. No, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to have those moments for the rest of natural bodybuilding because these sorry bastards are going to get out of the way. And I got no sympathy for them at all.
As you shouldn't, nor should anyone. And I think that's well said. I mean, if we were to make one request, it is this, you know, at least have enough respect for someone else not to steal their joy.
Mm-hmm.
Pure and simple.
Yes. And, you know, for and I, like I said, I can only speak from the male side, but I can, you know, just imagine. Because my goodness, women have to spend an awful lot of money in these shows. And to have that taken away, yikes. The suits alone, some of these suits cost more than the next show.
Yeah, the suits, the hair, the makeup, the shoes, the bling. And then if you're traveling to a show, you know, you throw in all of that expense as well.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I mean, it's an investment. It's a commitment. Mm-hmm. On so many different levels, it is.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you said that. Yes. On so many different levels. Yes. And I just wish people would open their minds to understand what they're asking, what they're giving. And the appreciation shows so much more. And I think that's why the natural athletes can just clap their hands and smile when their name is announced second, because you know that first place person deserves to be there too. You know, that's competition to me.
Yep.
When to even be an, you know, like people ask me, do you think you're going to win? I said, I'm just happy to be in the top five. And I'm not, you know, that might sound like a cliche to anybody, but to me, it's the honest to God truth. Because you don't know who's showing up. You never do. But you know you did your best. And that's what you meant. Because it's like, you know, the game is here. This is the game. The work, the effort, the drive, standing next to anybody, you're at home with yourself. You're at peace with yourself. And you're going to push yourself to be better. I mean, I was looking through some old photos 2 years back, and I was very aware of my surroundings, so I didn't openly say it out loud, but I thought it, and I said, man, I was fat. And I was talking about being on stage, my stage physique, and I said I was fat. And on stage, any judge would agree with me, any judge. But in reality, in life, who would think I was dark, raving mad? And I said, then I've improved. It's been 2 years, but look at the improvement. And I'm sure you've got that same kind of testimony from the female side where, you know, it's, I don't think we'll ever get to our idea of perfection, but we still got something to work on.
Exactly. Very true. Very true. And that leads to a whole nother topic for a whole different podcast, but just the mental game with your body image. And I think especially for females, once you do hit that stage ready form, and then having to, I won't say regress, but transition back to an everyday body versus a stage ready body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a topic for another day, because that can be a very hard transition for many female competitors. But you are right to the point where, you know, when competing is your passion and you fall in love with it, there is always room to improve. Always. Just have to make sure that you remain on the right path to get there.
Mm-hmm. And well, you know, there's a certain thing. Well, that's so big. I mean, my goodness, that's like a 2-hour show with the, you know, being able to recover, because then, you know, we talk about the physical side, but the mental, that's big. And like I said, when you have to be self-aware as a woman every single day, how you look, your appearance, and that's just in society. That's nothing to do with the gym or a stage. That's, you know, people are so quick to make statements, you know, about a woman's appearance before they do anything else. I mean, if you could look at the, you know, what they're having over with this debate thing they had just, what was it, last Thursday, where some statements that were made that had nothing to do with anything about the debate, but just about the woman that was asking the question. And, you know, on either side, it doesn't matter. But the fact that, you know, this became something that was brought up, and I was like, well, what does that have to do with anything about what they were talking about? And actually nothing. But it's still what women have to deal with on a daily basis.
It's true. Very true. And not only from men, but from ourselves.
Yes.
So it's a whole big, wide gamut. A privilege to be a woman and difficult to be a woman.
Yes. And then to be a competitor and a mother and a friend and a wife and a girlfriend. I mean, there's so many things that, you know, I think guys can be happy they don't have to deal with it. Because, my goodness, it's such a tough choice to do this. And like you said, when you're being judged by something that's subjective, you know, it's all in how you take that judgment, I think, is what makes the difference.
It is. In the context of today's the topic for today's podcast, I mean, I totally understand the desire to want to do whatever is necessary to win, to live up, to measure up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just have to understand your own self-worth and value first. And yes, we all make the decision to, when we do this, to put ourselves into a position of subjectivity, because there's really very little, I shouldn't say very little, but it's hard to be objective 100% of the time when you have, even when you have criteria, when all of the judges have different perspectives, different experiences that play into the way that they process what they see. It can't be 100% objective. You just have to understand it is subjective, and then go from there. Otherwise, you will drive yourself crazy into making poor decisions that didn't need to happen.
Yes, and you know, it stems into the rest of your life. I think, you know, the short-sighted goal should never take away from the long-sighted objective of a healthy and fit life. Because to me, that's what it's all about, you know, being healthy, being fit, and having a life outside of everything, just being alive. There's a lot of choices. I mean, I just sit there and say some of the dumbest things I've done would probably take 3 podcasts. But you know, it's something that I was able to live through where I hadn't damaged my body. It was just bonehead, stupid stunts, you know, like a Teen Wolf and trying to surf on top of a car. It's dumb and stupid. But,
you
know, after the cast came off, I healed. Yeah, it didn't turn out like him. It wasn't so much fun. But, you know, it's like, it's crazy stuff, but not to to the point where you have to say, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. It's just tough. But anywho, like I said, it's a life choice that we make, but hopefully we make a choice of life. And for me, it's always been a choice of life. That's why I'm so passionate about it. That's why I love it so much, because I know in the end, no matter who I deal with, if they do the program successfully, they end up with a better life, not death. And, you know, to me, those choices will always end in death when you choose to alter your body's chemical structure and DNA. It's like, well, what do you think would happen? And I think it comes down to the point of people not thinking at all. It's more like a want. Not a need, more like a desire and a lust and a covet. And, you know, I've been to two NPC shows. And there was a lot of negativity, but it was more directed toward the person that might beat him. And I asked, well, I'm not going to name it. There's no point in naming the name. It's just, I asked the fella, you know, why would you hate them when the judges are the ones that are going to be making the decision? And he said, do you realize what I've done to get here? And that made it kind of understandable why he'd have animosity and anger, because I can only imagine. Because, you know, when you talk about us as natural competitors, we think back to what we've done, and we can say, man, I really changed my life. But now you flip it over to the dark side, and they're saying, my life really changed. Mm. It's not equal, but it is a big change. And you think the options, the choices, and the people that basically helped them with both aren't really the good people that we run into when we're doing what we do. So you know, it's like if you want to put yourself in someone's shoes, do that, because it's an awful option from that guy's point of view when he made that statement. Do you know the things I've done to get here? And it was like, I don't really think I want an answer behind that, you know?
So
well, thanks,
summary,
Desiree. I appreciate everything you put in here. And is there anything else you'd like to tell women to keep them? It might be a hard choice for them. It's an easy choice for the ones that have made a lifetime of good health and fitness. But what do you tell the person that's basically on the fence and not wanting to get third place anymore and not wanting, what do you tell them to keep them on a healthy road, that yellow brick road to the Wizard of Oz?
You know, the shortcut is never the best cut. You know, you may be in third place this year. You may place third, fourth, fifth in every show this year. But then next year is a whole new year. Your body is going to grow. It's going to continue to improve. It's going to expand, even by just being consistent. You don't even have to do anything major. And you're going to place higher. You just will. Because you will have that experience. You will have that confidence to step back on stage. You'll be able to look back and have a perspective of things that you could have done differently or could have improved that you couldn't see while you were in the competition groove. And once you're able to do that, the whole package and presentation you're going to bring the next time around is going to be, you know, head over shoulders better than what it was before. And you will start to place the way that you want to. So you just have to be patient, be consistent, be true to yourself and the hard work that you already did, have done, continue to do, and you're going to get where you want to go. No shortcuts needed. You just don't need it.
Very well said.
And there's something that you touched on earlier that I'll touch on now, and it is where you said the people are reachable. You know, that we are a group, but we're a group of people that it can actually be spoken to. You know, any top name celebrity we have in the natural community will respond to questions. And I think that that's, you know, because we're so used to having unattainable people that we think, oh, I can't just reach out and ask them. You know, they've dealt with the sick individuals, but they also deal with the people that are real people as well. And they're more than happy to help along that life journey of good health and fitness. So don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to ask that question. Don't be afraid to challenge yourself to say, I don't know it all. Because honestly, I don't think any of us do. But we do have the life that can be, you know, brought up and improved by, you know, getting around other people that can actually challenge us to be better. And I think that's where we are right now, and that's why we're growing in such a fashion. I mean, we're growing in leaps and bounds, and I'm just so happy about that because, like, the physiques now are just so more advanced, so much more advanced than, you know, than what they were 2-3 years ago. And that's just from the combination of good coaching, good nutrition, good sleep, good diet, good gym, good everything. Good God.
It is a process. I love
yes.
it.
Well, thank you, Desiree. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for your input and your insight, because there was a lot of things that I just don't know, you know. And then,
hey,
go ahead.
I appreciate you for having me, and I don't know it all either. I'm a mouthpiece for a lot of other ladies that have had different experiences than I have, so I'm happy to share it if I can.
Well, I think with what, you know, the concern of the people that want to do better but don't know how, and, you know, because there's a lot of bad information out there, and there's a lot of bad people willing to give it. And they do need a voice like this, because it's the voice of reason, the voice of sanity, and it's basically saying, you know, you don't have to take that shortcut, because it's such a long road. And I know that sounds kind of backwards, but it's the truth. It's such a shortcut, but it's such a long road when you have to take, because it takes so much. And if people really understood the moral compass that has to be broken to do that, it's not worth it. We'll just let it go from there. Is there anything you'd like to say before we end the show?
Just keep grinding, people, and join us
That's
again.
Right. And we'll actually be talking again this Thursday. And you'll actually be taking the reins of the show.
I know,
so
and I'm
fun.
Excited. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, just tune in to see what happens. It's always an adventure.
Oh, okay. Wait. I got a message. So I'm going to ask it. And Desiree, you are a natural competitor pro, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And you are a natural pro in figure or bikini?
In bikini.
Okay. Because I guess someone had seen your picture and they said, wow, stunner. So,
well, thank you.
Okay, a live chat. You gotta love it.
I do.
So, yes, that's the Desiree. Yes, that's her, and she's open to answer questions. She's I've stayed in contact with her about many things, and she's always been able to respond. Not right away because she has a life. Listen, people, we all have lives, so it's not that immediate response. But I guarantee if you reach out, all of us will do our best to respond unless you're taking it to a place that we cannot go, and you know what I mean. So we won't go there, but we'll just, yeah. So thank you, Heather Ray, and thank you, Live Chatters. I always appreciate you guys chiming in. Try to chime in a little earlier next time before the show is actually off the air. But we will be talking again Thursday, so if you got questions for her, just send them the way. Blog Talk Radio, Real Talk, we are here for everybody. Desiree, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kalen. Have a great night, everyone.
And you have a great night as well. Talk to you later.
Bye.